Hallmark Channel presents Christmas at the Golden Dragon. Now, various families at Christmas.
As soon as we finish stuffing our bellies full of turkey and stuffing, we're already mentally preparing for the main attraction. We make wish lists, start planning the perfect holiday party, dive into piles of peppermint goodies, and tease our kids about being on the naughty or nice list. It's hard to remember that Christmas isn't about tracking down the season's hottest gadget or one-upping our neighbor's decorations. It's about honoring our roots, reveling in the present. We all spend so much time rushing around to meetings and appointments and dates and for Instagram posts.
Boardroom.
Christmas is about peace, not productivity. It should be the only time of year when we're allowed to just be. And that's where Harlow Furnishings' new holiday accessories line comes in. We'll do all the work for you. You just be. Because in the end, family is always your best decoration.
Lobby.
You nailed it.
Well, it's easy to talk about Christmas in a city like New York. Mm. The Rockefeller tree, the festive department store window displays. I mean, Radio City Music Hall? The city just bursts with Christmas cheer.
Sure, the city does Christmas in style. And I'm sure you also had some great Christmases growing up.
Well, when you've never had a real Christmas before, you have a lot of time in between to fill in the blanks.
Your family doesn't do Christmas?
Well, my family owns a Chinese restaurant in Wichita. It's one of the only restaurants open for Christmas. So the holidays are the busiest time of the year.
Aerial views of a small snow-covered town. In the Golden Dragon restaurant, Chef Jim Chen, watched by a young man, makes an egg roll. He spoons peanut butter atop two prawns, then folds up the roll.
Now, between now and Christmas, we make 1,000 of these.
By next year, I'll have the recipe perfected.
A woman, Sue Chen, wearing a red silk shirt, approaches a table.
Someone's yearning for her architecture days.
The designing, maybe, but the deadlines and neurotic clients, never.
Oh. Jane.
They hug.
I am grateful for your mushu. It's depressing cooking for one.
Oh.
I can't believe Jerry's been gone 6 months. You know, that new Wichita University basketball coach just doesn't have the same energy.
How is your daughter holding up? I haven't seen her in here lately.
It's like nothing happened. She just went back to her life, just spending every waking hour at work.
Well, she's got that fancy CFO job. Lots of responsibility.
But she does. Oh, I guess I better get going. Lots of errands to run. Only a few more days before our... before my annual holiday party.
A bearded man on a phone enters with two young girls.
I know it's not your fault that all flights from Hawaii have been delayed. I know what active volcano warning means. Yes, sweetheart, just give me one second, okay?
What am I supposed to do for Christmas?
Is the food ready? I'm starving.
Sweetheart, I know. Just give me one second, please.
Girls. Do you want to see me guess what a fortune cookie says?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, here they are. Which one should we do? Oh, this is a hard one. I can do it. Okay.
Jane presses a fortune cookie to her forehead.
I got it. This fortune cookie says that a pleasant surprise is coming your way. Shall we see? I'm right.
She unwraps it.
All right. You read it and tell me.
Jessa, what does it say?
It says, pleasant surprise is coming your way.
Chef Jim brings a takeout bag to the father.
Hey, Nate.
Oh.
Extra duck sauce for Vivian. No peanut for the compote. And I know Jess is allergic.
It's sad how well you know us, but oddly comforting.
So it's just you and the girls.
Yep. And I'm still trying to figure out how to make a decent lunch while pulling off a mediocre French braid.
I'm sorry, Nate.
It's all good. I promised the girls the best holiday ever, and that's exactly what I'm going to give them. Nonstop, fun. Wish me luck.
Parking lot.
I'm working up a sweat, and it's not even dinner time.
Busiest we've ever been, and that's saying a lot.
There you go. Oh.
They load a delivery van. On a shelf, Sue spies an admissions envelope.
Princeton! And it's thick. You know what that means. This is the fourth early admission letter you've gotten. All from amazing colleges.
Not like I can go anyway, so what's the point?
Oh, Miguel.
My pops would freak if he found out I was getting accepted to all these fancy schools. Probably try and do something crazy to give me the money.
Did you apply to that scholarship Jane told me about?
I got my interview tomorrow.
Oh, Miguel, that's wonderful!
Street. Miguel approaches an elderly African-American man sitting on a bench.
So your doctor said you weren't supposed to be eating anything spicy, salty, or fried.
I had a stroke. Not a taste bud removal. Besides, I'm fine.
How'd you sneak out of your house anyways?
My therapist thinks I'm in the bathroom. Just give me my pork fried rice.
Thanks, Mr. Barber.
Office lobby.
Thank you.
Miguel delivers two bags to a receptionist.
Thanks, you're such a lifesaver.
Oh, thank you. Finally, you're my last deliveries. Hopefully I'll be able to feel my fingers before I go to bed. See you.
Bye.
The office of CFO, Veronica Roberts. The receptionist enters.
Daily dose of Lomé.
Oh, thank God. I skipped breakfast this morning to get an early start, and I have a late night.
Do you ever not have a late night?
Tech is a 24/7 business. Innovation doesn't stop just because it's late December. But just because I'm burning the midnight oil doesn't mean everyone needs to be. Head home early, Beth. Your vacation starts tomorrow.
The holidays with three little ones, I'd hardly call that a vacation. You're so lucky you get to have a nice, simple Christmas.
Lucky me. Merry Christmas, Beth.
You too.
Veronica watches Beth depart, then glances down at her tummy. She reaches for a takeout bag. Golden Dragon Kitchen. Waiter, Rick Chen.
Okay. I just wrote down like a dozen orders and all over the city, so...
Miguel eats a rice dish.
Where'd you get that?
It was hidden in the deep dark corner of the walk-in freezer.
Oh. How'd you find that?
Saw you cook it and hide it there?
I was just messing around. My dad's the chef.
Come on, dude. I watched you for like 10 minutes. It was pretty impressive. What is this? It's amazing.
Zhongzi. My take on a Chinese tamale.
Taste it.
Not like it matters. Dad doesn't even know that I want to be a chef.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I think there are other restaurants.
Rick brings a takeout bag to the front desk. A young woman waits.
Such an annoying customer interrupted my only break.
That annoying customer would be me.
Sadie. Hi.
Rick. Hey. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Is that mine?
Oh, yeah. Here you go. No big Hanukkah dinner tonight?
My dad always burns the latkes, and brisket is so dry we could use it as kindling, so these are reinforcements.
Just like the old days, huh? I remember when you used to work here, there'd be a lot of leftovers going to the Cohen house.
This place definitely saved my appetite and my sanity more than once.
You still at UCLA?
Senior year. What about you? When did you get back?
Oh, no, I'm just chilling here in Wichita, staying with my folks. Man, we haven't seen each other in person since...
You ditched me right before prom.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sadie. I was already in college, my frat brothers told me. It was a little pathetic to be slow dancing my high school gym.
Could have shared that with me before I bought a dress that I couldn't return because it was stained with tears and Cheeto fingerprints.
I thought you only asked me because you wanted your first dance to be chill. Go with a friend, no pressure.
Not exactly.
Hey, can we catch up? Maybe tonight or tomorrow?
I'm pretty busy with family stuff before I head back.
Come on, you gotta let me make up for being such a jerk. We can reintroduce you to good old Midwestern holiday shenanigans.
That does sound tempting.
New York apartment. Romy Chen and boyfriend.
I am loving the romantic vibe, but you've done too much. I don't want to set off your smoke detector.
It's our last night together before the holidays. I wanted to do something special.
you know, savor this last shred of cheer before soy sauce servitude.
Okay, this may be crazy, but come to Vermont with me.
You want me to spend Christmas with your family?
I know it's a huge step and it's totally last minute, but I've already rented a car and my family's been wanting to meet you for ages.
That sounds so amazing. It's just that it's the busiest week of the year for the restaurant, and my parents would kill me for bailing. Plus, I would feel horrible about having so much fun while they were knee-deep in dumplings.
I get it. Maybe next year.
He kisses her hand. Golden Dragon. Sue decorates tree.
You remember the year Romy wanted a Barbie dream house?
The one with the pink convertible.
We didn't get it at mall till New Year, and it was all sold out.
She cried all day.
Look, this is for Mrs. Wilson.
Oh. Rick brings a cow ornament.
3 decades of memory.
All our lovely customers. I can't believe how much they've added to this tree over the years.
Yes, even if we didn't have a tree at home, we always got this one.
I wish there was a way to make it up to the kids. Let them have a proper Christmas. Enjoy the season without thinking about bussing tables or unloading supplies. Ah, it's Romy.
Oh, Betty Tops here.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Crushed my presentation and celebrated with Blake.
Well, he's heading to his parents' house in Vermont tomorrow. Asked me to join.
Oh, that's a huge step.
It would have been so magical.
Not just to meet his family, but to experience a real Christmas.
Sue and Jim exchange a look.
Maybe you should go, honey.
I think my Wi-Fi glitched because I thought I heard you say I should go with Blake.
We've got a dragon covered, so have an amazing Christmas with Blake.
Really?
Sue and Jim smile at one another. In a doctor's office, Veronica fidgets with a toy. She places it on a desk as the doctor enters.
Hey, Dr. Cohen. How's the man?
Happiest of holidays to you, too. We missed you at our cocktail party.
So, how did we do?
Unfortunately, none of the embryos made it through the blast.
But we had 4 of them this time.
It all comes down to chance. The numbers just weren't on our side. I'm so sorry. I really wish that I had better news for you.
Family kitchen. Jim. Rick.
She looks really fresh today.
I got lucky at the market this morning. Have you heard from your sister yet?
Yeah, just phone tagging.
Well, this is the first guy that she's been really serious about.
Yeah, he seems okay. Every time we talk, he's bugging me to start an IRA or buy mutual funds or something incredibly boring.
He has a good career, and he's only a few years older than you.
Dad.
You flunked out 2 years ago and haven't found a job.
I have had a job. At the restaurant. I considered that I actually like cooking.
What would you do with your life if the restaurant isn't around?
Yeah, right. Like the 2 biggest workaholics I know are going to decide to close up and relax. Nice.
Outside her home, Veronica strides down the driveway to a mailbox. She removes a bundle of mail, including a package. Opening the package, she pulls out a book, Modern Baby Names. She drops it and hurries off. Mr. Barber.
I think you dropped this.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Spec, Zuma, Inspector. You actually read this?
Just keep it, okay?
She heads back to the house, Mr. Barber watching her go. At night, in the Golden Dragon, the staff assemble.
Thank you for staying late. We wanted to give you your bonuses early.
Red envelopes.
When Sue and I first arrived in Kansas, we were petrified. And we knew the bonds that the food can create.
And over time, Wichita became home. And you became our family. Which makes it even harder to...
We're closing the restaurant for good. The last day will be Christmas Eve.
Rick gapes, then looks to Miguel.
We know this is tough news to hear.
You know, we're old, we're tired, and we move slower and we hurt more. We'd love to keep the restaurant open, but you just know when a chapter's ending.
Your envelopes include a month of severance.
Why close the day before Christmas? It's our busiest day.
We want you to spend Christmas with your loved ones. It's something you haven't done for a long time.
But some of us need this job.
We'll help you find other jobs. Give you glowing recommendations.
What are you gonna do? This restaurant is your life.
We've sold the building and the land to some developers. And we've bought a house in Flagstaff.
Yeah, on a golf course.
Later.
Seriously, guys? You sold the Dragon and we're moving to Arizona and you didn't think it'd be nice to tell me before you dropped that bomb in public?
Sometimes it's hard for people to move on without momentum.
What's that supposed to mean?
Your father and I left our village in China and ended up in Wichita because I had a third cousin who owned a restaurant here.
We didn't know anything about cooking or have passion for food, really.
But we learned our way around a kitchen very quickly because we had to make a living and provide a good future for our kids.
Thinking back, we shouldn't have let the Dragon take over yours and Romy's childhood.
We wanted to keep you guys close to us. We didn't want you to end up toiling your lives away in a greasy kitchen like we did.
But I like working here.
You've used the restaurant as a crutch for too long.
You need to create your own path.
Who's gonna tell Romy? Isn't she having some fairy tale Christmas in stupid Vermont?
We'll tell her after the holiday.
No, I get it. More than anyone, but she would want to be here for a real Christmas with her real family.
She's all packed and ready to head out in the morning. It's done. It's done.
Aerial views of a snow-covered town. Caption, Vermont, USA. Outside an elegant home, Blake unloads a car. Romy holds a giant poinsettia.
I can't believe you grew up here. Your Christmases must have been so wonderful. Carols around the piano, snowball fights in the yard, presents under a freshly picked tree with just the right ratio of tinseled ornaments.
Somebody's watched too many Christmas movies.
All my life, I've wanted to anticipate Christmas instead of dreading it. Other kids got to spend Christmas baking cookies and building snowmen and opening presents. We spent Christmas slinging egg foo young and refilling jasmine tea. My parents were too busy to even get us presents until January 2nd. So, this will be my first real Christmas. Like, ever.
Blake's parents exit the house.
Oh. Mom, Dad, this is Romy.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to our home.
We have heard such wonderful things.
Say hi.
So nice to meet you. Oh, here, for the table centerpiece.
Wow, that is so thoughtful, Romy. Would you mind if I keep this outside on the porch? Our Moxie gets into everything, and poinsettias can be toxic to animals.
Yeah, no worries. I totally get it.
Well, let's get inside.
Yeah, great.
Romy flashes an awkward smile, then Blake's parents lead them inside. In the house, Romy gazes at pristine decorations of white, blue, and silver.
Oh, you have such a lovely home, Mrs. Bennett.
Thank you, but please call me Tinsley.
Oh my, and what a beautiful tree.
It's fake.
Oh, it looks so real.
Where is everybody?
Out back, building a snowman.
Outside.
There we go. He's looking when he hits.
Oh, hi, you must be Bridget.
And who are you?
Bridget.
I am so sorry. Apparently, we raised a very impolite young lady. I'm Dylan, Blake's brother.
I'm Jen. This is Emma. So nice to meet you in person.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Yeah, we were starting to think you were like Pearl.
Pearl?
Blake's imaginary friend.
Oh, from when he was little?
We'll try 12.
Hey, zip it.
You know what?
Oh. No. Blake starts a snowball fight. Dylan flings one, and it hits Romy in the belly. She doubles over.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, that definitely looked much more fun in the movies. It's okay. It's okay.
Office lobby.
Yes, please. Thank you. I'm going to need those. Okay, Jess, would you help Sister, please? Let's go.
Nate collides with Veronica.
I'm so sorry.
Veronica, hey. I'm so sorry.
I didn't see you there. Thank you.
You know, I think that happens at least twice a week.
I thought you were taking the week off for some family fun time.
Yeah. Can I have the markers?
Yes, you can. Yes, here, honey. Here, there you go.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
I like your shoes.
Oh, these old things? They feel just like butter on my feet. I'm kidding. They're awful. Don't ever throw away your sneakers. So what are you guys doing here?
We
already did bowling and the arcade today. Now Dad wants to take us to some boring museum.
The Children's Museum. So hosting an event where they celebrate Christmas traditions from around the world. It's going to be nonstop food and drink, plenty of fun. Just the opposite of boring, Jessa. And they have a make-your-own-wreath competition, which is why we're gathering some supplies from reception. I hope that's not an HR violation.
Well, last week I may or may not have taken some paper towels from the break room because I was too tired to go to the grocery store, so your secret's safe with me.
Okay.
Dad, I'm hungry.
Huh?
I'm hungry.
Right. Yes. Yes, of course. Well, how about we get some takeout from the Dragon on the way home?
You better savor those dishes.
I know, right? Jim and Sue are like family.
It's been like my second home.
I thought this place was your second home.
Aha. Sometimes it feels that way.
Well, that's how you became CFO, which is awesome, by the way. Congratulations. Not like me. I'm just a lowly engineer.
Lowly engineer? No way. Nate, you're brilliant. You're one of the most talented designers in the company.
Thank you for saying that.
Vivian has drawn a Christmas tree on one of Veronica's files.
No, sweetheart. No. Do not do that. Those are... I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's beautiful.
Nate hands her the files. Now, in her office, Veronica looks at Golden Dragon takeout containers and then reaches for a phone.
Golden Dragon?
Hi, Sue. I wanted to order something for my mom.
Kitchen. Sue to Miguel.
Oh, I know your interview is at 3, but is there time for you to squeeze in one more delivery on your way?
Later, Miguel knocks on a door. Jane appears.
What are you doing here? I didn't order anything.
This is for you. This note came with it.
Sending you your favorite mushu before the Dragon closes this week. Closes? Sue never said a peep.
Yeah, it was a shock to all of us. Okay, I'll see you later.
Broken light fixture.
That's really unsafe.
I know. Jerry used to take care of all those kind of things.
Miguel checks watch.
Let me fix that for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Later, on a ladder.
Okay, all set.
Thank you. That's great.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm running late for, like, the most important meeting of my life, so...
He steps down and rips his suit jacket.
Oh, no. Miguel, are you okay?
He looks at his watch. In an office interview room, Veronica looks at a watch. Beth appears with Miguel.
Miss Roberts, I am so sorry.
She points to a seat. He sits.
I had you on my calendar for 3. It is now 3:18.
I was working and
it's
I had
okay.
to...
It's okay. Let's just get on with it. Cool?
Yeah.
Good grades. Great test scores.
Thank you, ma'am.
But your extracurriculars, where are they?
I work 30 hours a week plus all AP classes. I don't exactly have time for the debate team, so.
What about your community service? Volunteer positions?
Does playing bingo with some feisty ladies at the nursing home count?
Veronica stares.
This scholarship is given by my company to someone who is involved with their community in a deep and meaningful way. You're a nice young man, Miguel, but I unfortunately just don't think you're a good fit.
Miguel nods.
Thanks.
Office concourse. Veronica answers a cell phone.
Hi, Mom.
Thank you for the mooshu.
I know how much you love it.
We had those lovely Sunday night dinners there with your dad.
On the rare occasions when he would show up.
Well, the portions are so big. You want to come over and share it with me tonight?
How about tomorrow? I could help you prep for the party. Be there in the afternoon.
Jane gives her phone a disappointed look before half-heartedly turning her attention to origami snowflake decorations. Street, Nate and daughters.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for these roasted chestnuts. They only have them this time of year, Dad. Like, only once.
I know.
I can never decide between the ones dipped in cinnamon and sugar or the spicy ones that burn your tongue.
Which are your favorite?
I like the plain ones, the roasted kind.
Oh, how very traditional of you.
I'm a traditional girl, Daddy.
You are you?
Mom usually brings us first thing in the morning because they sell out fast.
Yeah, it'll be fine. They're just chestnuts.
A sold-out sign.
You gotta be. It's not even new.
Told you, Dad.
Okay, a little less attitude would be great, Jessa.
Having a fun vacation would be great.
Are you? All we've done is have fun.
Just because you take us to lots of places and spend lots of money on us does not make it fun.
Okay, fine. What do you want to do?
Practice my lines for the Christmas pageant. You just go home.
Okay.
He pulls Vivian up into his arms, gazing off at the chestnut stand. In Vermont, Romy looks around a bedroom as Blake unpacks.
Sure this is your childhood bedroom?
Pretty sure, yeah.
In the movies, the adult comes home for the holidays and they slip right back into their teenage environment. You know, like walls plastered with posters of muscle cars, shelves lined with trophies, beds with Star Wars sheets.
I wasn't really a Star Wars fan.
And we're supposed to look at your yearbooks and make fun of your haircuts.
You do that already.
Oh, and where is your desk?
I just use my laptop on my bed.
I always wanted a desk so bad. But my parents didn't see a point in getting us one because we were always at the Dragon after school. So they gave us a table to do our homework at, and not the good corner table, but the bad one near the men's bathroom.
I'm sorry, babe.
It's where I did my homework every day after school. It's where I studied for the SATs. It's where I found out I got into NYU. It's where my first boyfriend broke up with me.
Sounds like the Golden Dragon means more to you than you'd like to admit.
You are not going to get me that easy, Blake. No tears this holiday. I am a ball of light and love and holiday cheer.
Come here.
They embrace. Later, Blake and family watch a football game. Romy enters carrying a tray of gingerbread house ingredients.
I think this room needs some Christmas sparkle.
But, babe, there's nothing more Christmas than football.
Oh, I just thought it would be fun if we all built a gingerbread house together.
But we're already together watching football.
That's a great idea, Romy. Let's all take a break from the game.
Now, everyone makes gingerbread houses. Bridget.
You know, it shouldn't be that wobbly. Maybe you didn't add enough frosting?
I don't know. I've never built one before.
Oh,
Romy's piping bag explodes frosting all over the gingerbread. She tries to clean it up and the house collapses in on itself. Next, walking along a street with Blake.
My first gingerbread house was a complete disaster.
It wasn't a disaster, just not up to code.
Oh, it's Rick.
I'm gonna go in.
Yeah.
Video call.
Hey.
It is insanity over here. It's only got a sec, but I thought you should know, even though Mom and Dad don't want me to tell you.
This is sounding pretty ominous.
Mom and Dad sold the restaurant.
What?
Yeah, Christmas Eve is our last night, and then we're closed forever. Hey, someone just dropped the whole tray of steamed pork buns. I gotta go.
Ooh.
She stares at the phone. Blake returns.
How's Rick?
My parents sold the restaurant.
What? Romy, I am so sorry.
Why didn't they tell me sooner? So that I could be there.
Are you okay?
She gazes off, then turns and strides away down the street.
Romy?
She halts in front of a window display. Blake catches up and sees she is looking at vintage caroler costumes.
I said no tears.
Oh, no. No way.
Jane's house.
Hey, you finally got it fixed.
Yeah.
Go, Mom. Finding your inner handyman.
No, it was actually the delivery driver from the Golden Dragon. He's such a nice young man. He was even running late for an interview and still volunteered to fix it for me. And then the poor kid ripped his jacket. Had to loan him one of Daddy's suits.
Veronica frowns and enters. Inside, Jane unpacks Christmas lights. Veronica pats a leather Lazy Boy chair.
When are you getting rid of Dad's old chair?
Your dad sat in that chair every night reviewing his playbook.
Well, you can redecorate now. Make the house more you. Maybe take down some of Dad's stuff.
No, I'm proud of his accomplishments.
You were a brilliant architect. The only woman on track for partner at your firm. You could have kept working. Actually done something that made you happy.
I want to get your idea on party decorations, please. You used to be quite the crafter.
I had a life outside of work.
I remember staying up all night with you before the party, making hundreds of origami snowflakes, remember? You were so relentless. Had to make sure that every fold was perfect and precise.
Where do you think I learned that from, huh?
You should just relax this year. Maybe even cancel. People will understand.
I'm not canceling. This party has happened for 30 years.
Did you have your appointment with Dr. Cohen?
Yep.
And?
And nothing.
It didn't take. Can you do another round of IVF?
I've already done four. The hormones are really messing with my body. And the cost, well, I'd have to get another promotion in order to afford it, but then I'll be working too much to even hang out with my kid. I know what that's like. All too well. Dad was part-time for almost my whole life. It's been a hard day.
Yeah, I know.
At home, Nate removes a greetings from Hawaii postcard from a refrigerator. He looks at it, then places it back on the refrigerator, securing it with a magnet.
Jess, Viv, come on over. Time to write your note to Santa.
No, thanks.
You do this every year, Jessa.
Seems like Santa knows about the time I hid my Brussels sprouts in the bushes outside. Or should I tell him about that? I definitely want to be on the nice list.
Not gonna happen. You're naughty all the way.
Jessa. Get your tinsel in a tangle. And give me that tablet.
I'm almost at level 33.
Why don't we run your lines for the pageant?
Really?
Absolutely. You said you were getting nervous? Okay. As a matter of fact, you know what we're doing? We're standing up because we always must practice as we perform.
Okay.
Go for it.
Let us.
Sweetheart, it's okay. A lot of people get nervous when they're publicly speaking.
You don't?
Are you kidding me? I don't.
You are looking at someone who once took 4 semesters of French to get out of 1 semester of public speaking. I couldn't even barely watch somebody else speak publicly.
Really?
Yeah. Then I got a job at this company, and I had to give a lot of presentations. And I developed a 10-point strategy to push past my fear.
Outside a home, Blake's family dressed in vintage Carol costumes.
All right, Rami, if you ever wondered how much I love you, this is proof.
I feel ridiculous.
You feel ridiculous?
So how does this work? Do I just go knock on the door?
I don't know.
Yes.
We've never done it before.
Okay. I'll go do it.
Romy knocks. A frazzled-looking mom holding a baby opens the door.
How can I help you? We're here to sing carols.
Why?
To spread holiday cheer.
Nope.
Another house. Three teenagers with cell phones laugh and point. Next, the carolers appear in the doorway of a garage. A scowling couple stand beside a car with a Christmas tree tied to its roof. The garage door closes on Romy, Blake, and family. Back at the Blake family home, Romy slumps down on the end of a bed.
Sorry that caroling was such a disaster. I mean, I knew it would be, but I'm so sorry.
What's the point of living in this winter wonderland if you're not swept up in Christmas spirit?
Could this angst have something to do with the Golden Dragon closing?
Of course not.
She shoves her hat into his lap and walks away. Street.
Thank you.
Rick passes Sadie a hot chocolate.
I forget how beautiful it can be here.
You can always move back after graduation.
I already have a job lined up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I interned with this really great political action coalition over the summer, so I'm going to start as a coordinator, get some experience in the nonprofit space, and then go to law school and clerk for a judge and then run for office.
Well, sounds like you've got everything figured out. I guess karma's just caught up to me, seeing I'll be homeless and jobless. Really nailing that life thing.
Maybe it's for the best.
I know. My parents have worked hard. They deserve a break.
Well, sure, but I meant for the best for you.
Yeah?
I mean, you don't have the best track record for taking charge of your future.
I can take charge.
There's actually something I've been dying to do since I got back home. If you're game.
Ice rink. Rick teeters on skates.
Now, you are gonna have to let go of those presents at some point.
I'm fine just watching.
Now, my cousin told me that you missed all of your classes sophomore year, and that's why you flunked out.
Look, I had everything in high school. Then I went to college, and it just rocketed past me. Better schools, better jobs.
You're not happy with your life, then you have to take responsibility for what's wrong. Change what you can and work on the rest. Take action.
She holds out one hand. Rick reaches out, slips and slides and collapses into her. Now, Rick and Sadie enter the empty kitchen of the Golden Dragon.
You know, when you promised me a midnight snack, this isn't quite what I was thinking.
I need to decompress after that. I'm cooking. It's my meditation.
He unwraps ingredients.
So there's this kids' Christmas event happening at the church tomorrow, and my family participates every year. Kids in foster care will create this wish registry, like a bridal or a baby shower one, and people will buy the gifts anonymously, and then we wrap them and have Santa and his elves pass them out.
Sounds really nice.
Well, my cousin was supposed to go with me, but she's got the flu, so do you want to be my plus one? You'd have to dress up as an elf, but I promise you the tights are super comfortable.
Sounds like fun.
Minus the tights part.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to spend as much time with you as I can while you're home.
She smiles. In the daytime, Veronica shovels snow from a driveway. Mr. Barber approaches.
Nice job. I see you're making progress.
Jack, I don't know how you talk me into these things.
Well, you know, I usually have my pal help me.
Pal, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lady friend I should know about?
It would take a very special lady to live up to my Margaret. I haven't met one yet, and I probably never will.
So is this helper your Secret Santa gift or something?
It's Miguel.
Miguel?
From the Golden Dragon.
He shovels your snow?
Yes. He cuts my grass, cleans my ceiling fans, repairs my gutters. He does all. You know, actually, I gotta ask him about fixing the screen on my back door. Maybe power wash the back patio. Dust off the top cabinets.
Golden Dragon.
Saw someone use the grill last night and didn't clean it again.
Sorry, dude. I had Sadie over last night and I totally forgot to clean up.
Sadie? Nice, man. Well, when are you gonna see her again?
Tonight. I'm helping her hand out gifts at this toy drive.
Tonight? Are you crazy? Your dad is gonna kill you.
Oh, no. I already double-checked that there are no huge catering orders or large table reservations, so I should be able to sneak out for a couple hours without anyone noticing.
You know, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing. Your dad saw the mess, found out that you cook.
Just like it wouldn't be the worst thing if your dad found out you've been hiding your college acceptance letters.
At the front desk, Nate. He glances to one side and sees Veronica.
Veronica.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I don't think I've ever seen you dressed so casually. You always in a power suit.
What are you doing here, Nate?
I was just dropping off the girls at pageant practice. And I thought I'd surprise them with their mom's famous roast chicken.
I'm guessing that didn't go so well?
No, it didn't at all. Let's just say that a smoke alarm may have been sacrificed in the mayhem. So.
Don't try too hard to be the fun parent. Sometimes just being there to listen is enough.
Wise words.
I know.
Here you go. Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Actually, you know, I don't have to pick them up for at least another hour. Is there anywhere you needed to be?
Table.
Are Jessa and Vivi excited about the pageant?
Oh, Vivi's a total ham. She cannot wait to be the center of attention and be right up on that stage. Jessa, on the other hand, she suffers from terrible stage fright. So any production she's ever been a part of growing up has always ended up in complete disaster.
Yikes.
Speaking of which, what are you doing tomorrow night? There's an extra special pageant happening that you may know about. The girls would be psyched to see you. You want to come?
Oh, Nate, I would love to. But tomorrow's my mom's party. I'm not really looking forward to socializing with 100 of her and my dad's friends. But I need to be there for her.
And for you.
In the kitchen, an egg roll bubbles in a pan of oil. Rick hurries in.
Oh, there you are. Are you going someplace?
Just a quick errand. I'll be back before the dinner rush.
No. I need you in the kitchen.
Just 30 minutes. I have to tell Sadie that I can't.
Are you going to abandon me right now?
Let me text her.
Not now. I'll promise you get a break later, okay?
He confiscates Rick's phone. Outside a recreation center, Sadie, dressed as an elf, looks around. She knits her brow. She raises a cell phone to her ear.
Hey, it's Rick. Probably won't listen to this.
Sadie shakes her head. In the daytime, Rick and Miguel load the delivery van. Rick slams the door shut.
Hey, man. Everything okay?
She won't return my calls. I was supposed to meet her at the church last night, but I was stuck helping my dad. Now I've blown my chance with her. Again.
Blake's family home. Living room.
Okay, time to open presents.
Oh, are we supposed to open presents on Christmas morning, not 10 a.m. on Christmas Eve?
The kids were always so impatient with their presents that they couldn't wait till Christmas morning.
So one year we decided to let them open presents a day early. But then the tradition just stuck.
Besides, we like to spend our Christmas Eve night at our favorite restaurant. We've been going there for years.
The Swan House. Oh, sounds very elegant. Oh, thank you.
Blake's mom passes Romy a large gift box. Romy unwraps a bathrobe.
Oh, beautiful.
Bridget unwraps headphones, then leaps up and gives Blake a hug.
Thank you.
You're welcome, kiddo.
All right, all right. Time for my gift.
Oh, saving the best for last. I can't wait to see what's inside.
Blake presents Romy with a small red box. She opens it to reveal a gold dragon pendant.
You like it?
Like, it's perfect.
At night, Veronica arrives at Jane's home wearing a red cocktail dress. She frowns as she sees curtains drawn across windows. She enters.
Mom? Where are you?
In here.
Jane sits in the lazy boy.
What happened to the party? Couldn't do it. Not alone. I emailed out a cancellation to everyone.
Except me?
We both know it would have been buried in your inbox until St. Patrick's Day.
I'll give you that one.
I know people are disappointed.
Oh, it's okay. It's just a party.
It's not just a party. It is my life. And I can't do this alone.
Hey. I loved Dad. And I miss him so much. But we both know the truth. He was never totally there for us.
Players needed him.
We needed him, too.
Your father was very important to this community. And I had to be supportive.
Do you remember the amazing career you had before you gave it all up to become some Division I coach's wife?
Monica, raising a family was the greatest joy in my life. And your father was not perfect, but he was my partner for 30 years. And I can't just erase all traces of him the moment he dies.
Why don't we do something? Go out?
I just like to.
She opens a photo album. At home, beside a Christmas hamper, Veronica cracks open a tin revealing a fruitcake.
Oh, do I want you or microwave popcorn for dinner?
Front door.
Mom, I knew...
Mr. Barber.
Hi, Jack. Do you need something?
I saw your lights were on. How come you don't like your mother's fancy shindig?
She canceled.
Missing your dad. You know, I usually have a hot butter rum on Christmas Eve, but my niece hid everything.
Maybe that's because you're not supposed to be drinking.
Oh, don't screw Joe on me. It's Christmas.
He enters. Later.
You did not
tell your physical therapist that.
I did. The little dictator deserved it, too.
Presents under tree.
Wow. Somebody's getting cozy with Mr. Claus.
I bought them all last month in a fit of excitement when I thought I might be...
Might be...
pregnant.
Oh.
But I'm not. I couldn't bear to send them back just yet.
You know, Margaret and I couldn't have children either.
I didn't know that. I thought it was by choice.
Oh. We both come from big families. But it wasn't in the cards.
How did you deal with it? The disappointment.
14 nieces and nephews.
14. That's crazy.
And we had time to volunteer. Be parental figures to those kids who might not have anyone else.
Still.
Choosing to make meaning out of a loss is both empowering and healing. Make this unexpected, unplanned life meaningful and fulfilling anyway.
An aerial view of the town at night. Then, in a small church, children reenact a nativity scene. Vivian, dressed as an angel, waves to Nate in the audience. At the rear of the church, Veronica appears. She sneaks down the aisle and finds Nate.
Good job. I figured this was more exciting than passing out in a vat of eggnog ice cream to some holiday movie marathon. Yeah.
Just in time.
Dressed as a shepherd, Jessa steps forward and freezes.
No. Excuse me a second.
He scurries away, then peeks out from behind a bale of hay.
Sweetheart, Jessa.
Dad, what are you doing?
Remember what I taught you.
Jessa closes her eyes, catches her breath, and wrings her hands. Nate nods encouragement.
Let us now go on to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Make haste in this glorious night.
Nate gives her a thumbs up. At the Golden Dragon, Sue escorts Sadie and family to a table.
In the central banquet. Enjoy your meal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Across the restaurant, Rick sees Sadie. At the front counter, Miguel joins Sue.
All right, here's the credit card slips. I've got to head off to church.
Okay. Oh, what happened with the interview? You never told me how it went.
Total bust. Maybe it's just not meant to be.
Rick intercepts Sadie.
Hey, Sadie, I just want to explain why.
Sadie, it's just the same old Rick again, afraid to take a risk. And I'm the dumb one who cares about you. I've cared about you for years. And you're only interested now because I'm 3,000 miles away and it's easy. And you don't do hard, ever.
She heads away. Church. Jessa stomps by awaiting Nate, Veronica, and Vivian.
Oh, hey, Jessa.
Not now, Dad.
Nate exchanges a look with Veronica. He follows Jessa outside.
Jessa. Hey, Jessa, please. What's wrong?
Could you be more embarrassing?
What? I thought it was helping.
Jessa stomps away and sits on a bench. Vivian's skipping after her.
Everything okay?
Can't seem to do anything right. Sometimes I feel like she's not cut out for this.
Nate!
Viejo.
Miguel.
We're late already. Miss Roberts, good to see you again. Merry Christmas.
You too, Miguel. Merry Christmas.
You must be Luis. I'm Nate. Pleasure to finally meet you.
Hello, Nate.
How do you know my son?
One too many orders of sesame chicken.
I see.
The Chens have been wonderful to Miguel. Now, maybe it's okay that he finds something long-term where he can flourish.
Okay, Papa, let's go get a seat.
Luis, you should be incredibly proud of the man you raised. He goes above and beyond every single day. He even looked after my kids once when I was late coming home from the airport at the restaurant. You remember that, Miguel?
Yeah.
Thank you. I still owe you for that.
Anytime.
Miguel, can I speak with you for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Miguel follows Veronica.
So you may not have a resume full of sports and debate team and co-op internships, but that doesn't mean you don't care about your community. You've helped my mom, Mr. Barber, surely countless other people. I may have made the wrong judgment about you on our first interview.
Does that mean...
This means you get another interview. A do-over. But you better not be late this time.
Okay, I promise.
Okay.
Jade Palace Chinese Restaurant.
I was expecting holiday ham, not Peking duck.
We always eat Chinese food on Christmas Eve.
Evening, folks. Have we decided?
Yeah, I think we're just gonna share a bunch of dishes. So let's do the orange chicken, the crab rangoon, pot stickers, chop suey, egg foo young, oh, and the Mongolian beef.
Great choices.
Subtitles. Waitress, tell the chefs to fire up more fake Chinese food. Busboy, is it time to go home yet? I'm already so bored. Romy, it's Christmas Eve, and you've probably been on your feet for hours. But please don't disrespect my boyfriend's family. They mean well, and they're just trying to make me feel comfortable. The server bows a hasty apology.
Romy, Blake told us all about your family's restaurant closing. I know that must be hard.
Now, Jade Palace may not live up to the Golden Dragon, but we wanted to share it with you.
What was your family restaurant like growing up? Is Christmas as crazy as it is here?
Oh, definitely. There were so many people. Nurses and doctors, international students, people who couldn't afford to fly home for the holidays. And because of the dragon, they had some place to spend Christmas, along with all the other holiday orphans in town. We made a family and made new traditions.
That sounds lovely, Romy.
Yeah. Actually, it was.
Home. Miguel and father roast marshmallows.
This Nate, he sure thinks highly of you.
Yeah. He's a great guy, so.
Mm-hmm. And the woman he was with? What did you two sneak off to talk about?
She's the administrator of the scholarship I applied to. I actually think I might have a chance of getting it, so.
His father nods.
Papa?
Miguel passes his father his roasting stick. Then reaching into a bag behind him, he pulls out university admissions envelopes.
How long have you had these?
2 weeks.
He puts the envelopes aside and passes the roasting stick back to Miguel.
Pasa, Papa.
Qué pena. It's a terrible feeling to see your child's dreams slip away. Because you're a failure.
Are you serious? You're not a failure. You're the kind of man I want to be. You're the kind of man who sacrifices everything for his family.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better to be selfish. Are we going to look at these as schools, or are we going to sit here feeling sorry for ourselves and burning our marshmallows? Wow.
Jade Palace. Blake's mother to a server.
Oh, excuse me. The paramedic that's waiting for her food, would you please put her order on our bill and tell her that it's a thank you from her Secret Santa?
Wow, that's very nice.
Not everyone gets to be near their loved ones during the holidays.
Romy gazes off, then abruptly rises to her feet.
You all are amazing, and I'm so sorry, but I have to go. Home.
To Kansas.
She looks to Blake. He nods.
I'll book your flight.
I'll drive you to the airport.
I'll make snacks for the road.
I'll help you pack.
I'll lend you my new noise-canceling headphones for the plane.
and I'll go with you.
Really?
Yes!
A tearful Romy smiles at Blake and family.
Oh, look at you enjoying Christmas morning.
In the Chen family home, Sue decorates pancakes with whipped cream and raspberries. She joins Jim in a breakfast nook. Nearby, on a couch, Rick scrolls and likes photos of Sadie on his phone. A text alert appears from Romy. He frowns. Next, Rick exits the house.
Rick, right here.
Romy, what are you doing?
Shh. I don't want Mom and Dad to see me.
Why?
Because we're opening the restaurant today.
We're what now?
Mom and Dad don't realize how important the dragon is to this town. And to me. All those people who depend on us for their Christmas meals. The ones who are alone or lost or abandoned or just want a nice meal that they don't have to cook. Where will they go today? Who will feed them?
We already gave the staff the day off.
So we'll find temporary staff.
Rick knits his brow.
I'll be the chef.
Yeah. Romy hugs him.
Good. It's about time you stopped cooking in secret.
You already knew about that?
I have spies all over the dragon.
Oh. You must be Blake. Hey, nice to finally meet you, man.
You too, Rick. Hey, maybe we can hit the kitchen sometime. Romy's a little tired of the one dish I know how to make, and I hear you have insane cooking skills.
I'd be totally down for that. Let me grab a jacket.
Go. We're gonna do it.
Nate's house.
Can't believe you got me this.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it a while ago. Probably totally uncool by now, but I think it's pretty awesome. You were talking about how you wanted to try to make some jewelry, so.
I didn't think you'd remember, or that you were listening.
I'm always listening, kiddo.
Jessa gazes at a small 3D printer. Nate cleans up gift wrapping.
I'm sorry, Dad, for yelling at you after the pageant and just being a really big brat lately. I've just been kind of sad since Mom left.
Your mom will be home soon.
I know, but then we'll live in two houses and have two birthdays and have to pick between you guys for stuff.
You never have to pick between us. Me and your mom may not be together anymore, but we'll still always be a family. I'll tell you what. Why don't we try to make Mom's famous cinnamon buns? Hmm?
Yeah.
Kitchen. Vivian snatches cereal from Jessa.
Is that your own bowl, cereal stealer?
I've got an idea. Where did I put the...
He disappears into a pantry.
Uh-huh.
And reemerges with a bag.
So, we all know I can never make cinnamon rolls like your mom. So I think it's time... we start a new tradition.
Vivian empties a box of Chex cereal into a bowl. Nate retrieves melted chocolate from a microwave.
Ooh.
They pour it over the cereal, then add green and red sprinkles. Nate stirs the mixture, then flicks icing sugar on the girls. He dumps more icing sugar into a bag and spoons in the chocolate-covered cereal. The girls shake the bag. The completed mix sits in a bowl. They add more festive sprinkles for decoration. Next, Miguel's house.
Romy, why aren't you in Vermont?
Slight change of plans.
We're opening up the dragon today. We need your help.
I'd love to, but it's Christmas.
He will be there.
You're okay with me leaving the family on Christmas?
The Chens have treated you like a son for years. That makes them part of our family, and we don't let family down.
At home, wearing a Wichita State basketball sweater, Veronica hunches over embroidery. Next, at the front door, Jane.
Merry Christmas.
Mom. Hi. What are you doing here? I mean, Merry Christmas. Come on in.
They enter the living room and sit beside one another on a couch.
How's your morning been?
Embroidery.
I've definitely lost the touch over the past few years.
Oh, honey, you have so many other talents. Don't focus on the one thing you're not perfect at.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, you kept a shirt.
Of course I did.
A gift box.
I want you to have this.
You didn't have to do this, Mom.
Just open it.
A monogrammed business card holder. Business cards inside.
I want you to know who I was before I became a wife or a mom.
You were a partner?
Well, technically, I didn't accept the promotion. I would have had to live in Copenhagen for a year. That was right when your dad was offered the head coaching job.
I didn't call him back.
Call who back?
Dad. 2 days before his heart attack, he dropped off a brochure, some cruise in Europe. I was focused on a project, and I figured it was just the same old routine, making promises he would never keep.
He wanted me to finally see Copenhagen and Paris and Prague and all those places I always dreamed of visiting. He felt guilty, but he didn't need to. Veronica, it was my choice to focus on our family. I knew what I was giving up. I also knew what I was getting.
He left me a voice message.
Yeah.
He sounded really sad. And he really wanted to meet up, but I was angry. And I didn't call him back. And then he was gone. And now I'm just going to be a disappointment to you, too. I'll never make you a grandmother.
Honey, I am so proud of you. And you'll get through this. And I will be there every step of the way right with you. Okay? Come.
She wipes tears from Veronica's cheeks.
Hey, Rick. Merry Christmas. Right now? Sure, I could do that. Can I bring a plus one?
Nate and girls snack.
This is good. Mm. I think I even like this better than sour gummies.
How about tomorrow? We'll go get donuts and go sledding.
I call the biggest hill first.
Hello, this is... Oh, hey, Miguel. Yeah, sure, no problem. We're on our way. You guys, get your coats on. Our friends need us. Let's go.
The Golden Dragon.
Thank you all so much for dropping your Christmas plans to come here. It's going to be out of all of our comfort zones, but I think we owe the dragon one last hurrah.
We're going to be busy. Insane is more like it. We already have dozens of reservations for dinner. Our usual vendors are closed, so we're going to have to make do with grocery, meat, and produce. Romy and Blake, they're going to be on kitchen duty with me.
Nate, I'm going to need you to grab the saucepans from the fridge and fill up all the dispensers.
Right.
Jane, I know you're a stickler for details, so I'm going to put you on dicing. Jess and Vivi, I'm going to teach you how to make the best hand-rolled dumplings ever.
Louise? I'm going to need you to be mingling in the dining room entertaining our guests.
What about me? Host stand. You want to waste all of this pizzazz on the host stand?
Yeah. We need you to keep all the hungry diners in line so our novice kitchen staff doesn't get overwhelmed.
Oh, so I get to tell people what to do?
Yes, but only a few.
Miguel holds up a pair of flashing reindeer antlers.
May I?
Jane places them on Mr. Barber's head.
Wow.
Perfect. All right, is everyone ready? We can get started.
All right.
Kitchen.
Boss, here you are, a fish filleting guru, and yet for our first dinner, you made me microwave popcorn?
Maybe I just forgot how fun it is to cook with people.
Veronica preps broccoli with Vivian.
We have to break them off like this and throw them in here. Like it's a big tree. You're taking the branches off.
You're natural.
Veronica smiles at Nate, who reaches for a cleaver and chops onions.
Ooh!
Rip works a walk, watched by an impressed Romy. Mr. Barber helps himself to some yellow pepper. Jane smiles at him. Next, Rick shows Blake how to cook noodles.
All right.
Are you watching?
I'm watching.
All right, you get a bundle.
Okay.
Cure it in, stir it.
That's it. That's all I have to do.
That's it?
I can
wait
do that.
A minute.
Romy tosses a handful of shredded cabbage at him. Later.
Hey, break it up.
You're leaving?
I'll be back in a few. There's just a stop I have to make.
What's more important than this?
My life.
What?
I can live with failure. I don't think I can live with regret.
Rick approaches a home. Changing his mind, he turns away just as the front door opens and Sadie appears.
Rick? What are you doing here? And why are you dressed like a 1980s wedding singer?
This was the last tie they had out of the shop.
What's going on?
Will you please go to the Dragon tonight at 8? Wearing this.
Corsage.
That dress I never got to see you in. Sadie Cohen.
He drops to one knee.
Will you go to prom with me?
Sadie bites her lip, then slowly reaches for the corsage.
You know, you can't just do one big gesture and then expect everything to be forgiven.
I know that, but which is why I just want this to be the first teensy, littlest possible step towards that. That's it.
She smiles. Golden Dragon. Romy and Blake prep tables.
Ta-da! My table.
So this is where all the magic happens.
All the major milestones in my life happened here.
Care to add one more?
Blake drops to one knee.
Are you asking me what I think you're asking me? Because I am going to be so mad at you that my engagement selfie is of me in a sesame oil-stained shirt.
Life isn't perfect. Christmas isn't perfect. Couples aren't perfect. But sometimes it's the imperfections that make something so worthwhile.
You're right. I don't want to live in a fantasy. I want all the messy and difficult and awkward things. I want to learn and grow and remember and be grateful. I want to do all of that with you.
Romy Chen, will you marry me?
She nods. Blake places gold tinsel around her finger and ties it in a small knot. Romy beams and wraps her arms around him.
You may say there are no perfect Christmases, but I beg to differ.
They kiss.
I love it.
You do?
I love it.
Parking lot. Jim, Sue.
I can't believe that kid sneaking off on Christmas and making me come out in the cold like this.
He's lost, Jim. He's still searching for his...
They look up and frown as they see the lit-up sign of the Golden Dragon.
Hey,
Now, in the restaurant, every table is packed with customers. A confused Jim and Sue shuffle in.
What's going on?
Your last dinner service. Mom, Dad, I'll take you to your table. Right this way.
How did you pull this off?
It was mostly Romy's idea.
Romy? I may be jet-lagged, and I definitely need a shower, but I would never miss our last Christmas here. Oh, Romy!
They hug.
I invited some regulars. Plus, I texted every phone number from last year's Christmas reservations. I might have carpal tunnel, but it got us a pretty decent cup.
Oh, you didn't have to do this for us.
You've served all of us all of these years. Now it's time for you to be served. This is Blake. Blake, meet my wonderful parents. Blake!
Hi.
Why aren't you with your family?
Well, Romy is family now.
We're engaged! Oh, Romy! Wonderful!
Don't worry, the real ring's coming as soon as we get back to New York. I swear.
Welcome to the family, son.
They all hug Blake.
All right.
Outside the restaurant, snow falls. Beside the door of the restaurant waits Rick. He steps forward as Sadie, wearing a prom dress and the corsage, exits a cab.
Wow. I can't believe I almost missed seeing you in this dress.
I can't believe this dress still actually fits me. Don't leave me alone on the dance floor, Rick Chen.
No, ma'am.
He offers his arm and escorts her inside. Sadie's eyes widen as they enter. Balloons decorate, including alphabet balloons spelling out prom. Rick signals to Romy at a mix board. The lights dim.
What is this?
Please have this dance.
Beaming, Sadie nods. They step forward and begin to slow dance.
So I was thinking that I might check out LA and see if I can find a job as a sous chef somewhere. Do you know anyone with a couch that I could crash on, maybe?
I might know someone.
You in my life, Sadie. And if that means friendship and nothing romantic would ever happen, that's fine. That's the price I pay.
Sadie silences him with a kiss. Across the dance floor, Nate dances with Veronica. He tips her.
I'm going to have the best story to tell for the what I did for my Christmas vacation portion of the company newsletter.
Don't you dare.
Veronica twirls. Nearby, Romy dances with Blake, Jane with Mr. Barber.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you...
Later, the restaurant empty of customers. Jim samples food as Rick looks on.
Pretty impressive.
Oh, I learned from the best.
Creativity is important, but you have got to get the basics down, too.
You can show me some tricks sometime.
I'd like nothing better, sir.
Lewis.
Thanks, Dad.
Con permiso. We understand that this tree has ornaments from all your customers and friends. Pero mira, before you turn that sign to closed for good, we would like to give you something.
Mi abuelito, my grandfather, gave me this when I was just a boy. We were leaving Guadalajara
on Christmas Eve to come to America. And he knew then that we probably would not see each other again. Este es Santo Cristóbal. Saint Christopher. The patron saint of travelers.
I remember that feeling when we left our homes to come to the U.S.
Miguel hangs pendant on tree.
Pure hope and pure fear at the same time.
I was so anxious that I accidentally put on two different shoes while flying.
Remember that?
Jessa.
I made this in preschool when I was 2 or 3. It was for my mom, but I know she'd want you to have it.
She hangs a clay handprint on tree.
I made the special for you.
Vivian hangs a small Christmas tree-shaped ornament.
This is symbolic, so that I remember to love myself as much as I love anyone else.
Jane hangs a skyscraper ornament.
My mom got this for me after my dad won his first NCAA tournament game. She was so proud of him, but of course I never even took it out of the box.
But Dad loved it here. And I loved him. Even though I didn't show it.
Veronica hangs a basketball ornament, then goes to Jane and hugs her tightly.
We'll remember that wherever we are, we'll always have this community, this family with us.
Louis pats Miguel on one shoulder. Blake and Romy smile. A tearful Sue reaches across the table and clasps Jim's hands in hers. Next, various views of the families at Christmas. Sadie samples Rick's food. Jane dumps the lazy boy in her driveway with a free sign on it. Veronica and Nate gaze at one another.
Here's the thing. Christmas looks different for everyone. Maybe it's embracing the change to create new traditions, or allowing those we love to become a part of achieving our dreams. It could be letting go of expectations around what you think the holidays should be, pushing forward with resilience and hope to create a new normal, and understanding that our challenges don't define us. Christmas makes us realize we may actually find everything we want if we adjust our perspective. And it doesn't matter if we throw festive parties or watch football or even roll dumplings. Christmas always feels the same if you spend it with family. Because the greatest gifts can't be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. The greatest gift we can give ourselves and others is living in the present and being grateful for the lessons we've learned throughout the year. And maybe fry a few egg rolls while you're at it.